You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, the number one daily national baseball podcast. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. And this episode is being dropped on the 26th day of February. We're inching towards March. We have on the host of Locked On Angels, Taylor Blake Ward. And guess what we're going to be talking about? Just guess. This show is available on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts. You know how to listen to a podcast. You're listening to one right now. Maybe you're on the website. Maybe you're at LockedOnMLB.com. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows of the Locked On Podcast Network like Locked On Angels. Or maybe you listen to Gabrielle at Locked On Red Sox. Or maybe you talk and listen to HA at Locked On Blue Jays, Javier, Locked On Padres, Stacey Katsoulias at Locked On Yankees, Jeff Carr at Locked On Reds. Are you detecting a pattern here? It is your team every day. We got all 30 teams like basketball, hockey, football, college sports. We got you covered. Got you covered. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Eric and everyone's doing a great job at Locked On. What the hell are we? Locked On MLB underscore net. Got a little flustered there. That's our Twitter handle. We're at Locked On MLB on Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Yeah, in the woods, in the mountains, wandering like Bigfoot in the mountains of California lurks a legendary man that they call Taylor Blake Ward, or some call him TBW. We've captured him here and forced him to host Locked On Angels, which he has been doing with great pleasure and with great ability. And I decided to have him here on the podcast here. Taylor Blake Ward, welcome to Locked On MLB.
You make me sound like the missing link, but they call me Gringo Oso. So if you're familiar with Spanish, you know what that means. And it's great to be on, Sully. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. TBW. You know, it's like JBJ is Jackie Bradley Jr., Taylor Blake Ward, TBW. To be winning is what you hope will be the motto for the Los Angeles Angels, which I believe is their name. I'm old enough to remember when they were the California Angels. I still call them that out of habit. So let's get down to it. You're an Angels guy. Did you grow up an Angels fan? Are you from Southern California? What's your Angel fandom all about?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Southern California, moved to Canada for a while. But for the most part, you know, I grew up a Padres, Dodgers, Angels fan. It was just Southern California baseball was my deal. And, you know, I loved Eric Karros until I met him in person. You know, I loved that 2002 Angels team was a blast to watch. Tony Gwynn, big on Tony Gwynn, you know, but it was all Southern California baseball for me.
And so now you're our voice of the Angels. And I'll tell you something. I'm going to just put something out there right now. I've never been an Angels fan. I grew up a Red Sox fan, and the Red Sox and Angels seem to have met up in the postseason many, many times over the years. But I will say this. Even though I've never been an Angel fan and the Angels broke my dad's heart in 2002, my dad's a Giant fan, there's a large part of my being wants to see the Angels win the World Series and win it fast because I'm a rabid Mike Trout fan. And Mike Trout just signed a contract that keeps him as a member of the Angels until the heat death of the universe. So if he's going to win a World Series, he's going to win it in Anaheim. So I just want to let you know, I am hoping that the Angels win. And I guarantee you Major League Baseball is hoping that the Angels will win sometime soon because their marquee player has played in three more postseason games than I have. And that's an issue. So tell me your thoughts on the Angels certainly going forward into 2020.
It's a big year for the Angels. Billy Epler's on a contract year, the general manager, and it's a win now situation. It falls on ownership where ownership has placed the front office in this position to win now. But yeah, everyone wants to see Mike Trout in the playoffs, win or not, you know, whatever it is. But everyone wants to see Mike Trout as a highlight player in the highlight moments. And yeah, everyone wants to see Mike Trout in the World Series. Everyone wants to see him, you know, raise that trophy. He's a likable guy. Everyone loves him. But, you know, when it comes to Angels in 2020, it seems that they're still missing a big piece, and it's something that they've been missing for a long time, and it's that frontline starter that's going to take them to the playoffs and then keep them in the playoffs during a series. And, they attempted during the offseason. They were looking all over the place and just couldn't make it work. And then recently they were close to adding Jock Peterson or Ross Stripling, even though Ross Stripling isn't a frontline starter per se. He's still a pretty good piece, and that may have pushed the Angels into more of a playoff category team as opposed to a fringe playoff category team like what it seems right now.
Yeah, I really thought that Cole was heading for the Angels, Gerrit Cole. I mean, I drank all the Kool-Aid in terms of why he would go, and they had to just sort of back up the Brinks truck, obviously, to get him. But I thought that he was a perfect fit for the Angels. I thought the Angels were a perfect fit for him. And, you know, the Yankees just outbid everyone. And sometimes, I mean, a lot of times people overthink this. I remember when CeCe Sabathia was a free agent after the 2008 season. The mindset was Sabathia's from California and he loves batting. He doesn't want to be in a DH league. And so everyone's always going to go to the Dodgers. He's going to go to the Dodgers. The Dodgers are a contending team. Or maybe he'll go to the Giants, and the Giants are a rebuilding team. It's like, no, the Yankees offered him the most money, and that's where he went. And sometimes we have to stop overthinking free agency. It's like, they're going to go to the highest bidder. And Cole went to the Yankees. Now, they got a tremendous consolation prize in Anthony Rendon because they also needed to get protection in the lineup for Mike Trout. But I look at this rotation, and it's a very strange rotation because it seems like a bunch of potentially good number three starters, number four starters, but there is no leader of this bunch. Then that really is troubling.
Absolutely. And as you noted, you know, everyone thought that Gerrit Cole was coming to the Angels. Everyone, their mother thought that. And it was an interesting item where its ownership again kind of stepped in, met with Gerrit Cole. They couldn't match the money figures, but it sounded like Gerrit was pretty set on going to the Yankees. After all was said and done, it kind of came as a surprise. But he stepped in, said, hey, we're going to pursue this guy that my friend saw at Rice. My friend is the athletic director at Rice, or was, and he loves this guy, and I've seen him since he was in college. And that turned out to be Anthony Rendon, which is a very nice consolation prize. Problem is the Angels needed pitching, and it still didn't come through the rest of the offseason, even when ownership opened up. And it's something, you know, Artie Moreno is a very involved owner, which sometimes is a great thing, sometimes is a bad thing, you know, but you look back and Angels could have signed Adrian Beltre. Didn't happen because of ownership. They could have signed multiple pieces, but instead they landed with Josh Hamilton, Albert Pujols, and Albert Pujols is great, but 10 years is too many. Yeah. You look at Gerrit Cole, you know, Gerrit Cole would have really transformed this Angels roster as long as he stays healthy. And that was not the case. You mentioned the rotation, a lot of guys that have some upside, you know, Dylan Bundy, get him out of the AL East. You've got Julio Teheran, who has really outperformed the analytics of his game. You've got Griffin Canning, a young guy who, like you said, you know, upside to be a mid-rotation guy. Andrew Heaney, another guy that has to turn the corner to be that upper tier mid-rotation guy. And then it falls off. And you look at Shohei Ohtani, but he's only going to get 100, 120 innings this year. So, yeah, they're still missing that very vital piece to make the playoff team.
Yeah, and Matt Andreese, is that who they got from the Diamondbacks? And you have Jose Suarez and Jaime Barry. I mean, there's a lot of people who are like, maybe, you know, I can't help but think about when Zach Greinke was an Angel for about an hour and a half and then left to the Dodgers via free agency, how he would have been if they had kept him instead of signing Josh Hamilton, how that would have helped the Angels over the last bunch of years. But you know, there's the pitching staff is a bunch of question marks. And you know, obviously they went all in to try to get Cole, but there were other pitchers. I mean, like, I was sitting there going, why aren't you signing Dallas Keuchel? You know, there are other people who I felt like it may not have been the superstar that Cole was, but you know, it certainly would have been the type of pitcher that you'd like to hand the ball to every 5 days. Now, I mean, that's just my personal thought. I got very frustrated. You know, Julio Teheran, if he could turn back the clock, great. And Dylan Bundy, if he could you know, reached levels that he didn't quite reach in Baltimore. Great, but it's still a lot of gigantic question marks for a team that has images of a division title dancing in their heads.
Oh, absolutely. And Dallas Keuchel was the guy that everyone believed was basically the secondary to Gerrit Cole after Anthony Rendon signed. It's kind of like, hey, the Angels still have money. And there's a guy who maybe he's not a true ace, you know, quote unquote ace anymore, but he's still a guy that's going to be a number two, number three, and a solidified number two, number three in Dallas Keuchel. It was even surprising. They weren't taking the Angels have taken a lot of risk and a lot of flyers over the years. And you look in Taiwan Walker sitting there all the way until a few weeks ago. They don't go and take Taiwan Walker. There's a lot of guys that just – it's kind of like every time a new pitcher sign, it's like you move on to the next guy. And it's like, you know, maybe the Angels will look at Alex Wood. Maybe the Angels look at Taiwan Walker. None of those things happened. And like you said, they ended up with Julio Teheran, which – if he can outperform the peripherals, then it's great. But, you know, it's still not like this is some guy that's going to be an ace of your staff.
Yeah. And, of course, the other thing is, you know, yeah, there are a couple of pitchers out there who are, you know, still kind of floating around, you know, unsigned. None of them are great. I mean, like Jason Vargas or Andrew Kashner or the Matt Harvey or Marco Estrada or Clay Buchholz. These kind of pitchers are still floating around out there. But with the Yankees dealing with the loss of Luis Severino, they're almost certainly to reach out and grab one of those players to at least take it as a flyer. I would say take a flyer on Matt Harvey. I mean, he may be awful. He may be done, or he may have a bounce back season. I mean, it would cost the Angels nothing. At this point, you're always better off just grabbing as many of these as you can and hoping that one of them has a, wow, I didn't expect that year from them.
They tried that. I mean, specifically with Matt Harvey, you know, it just,
That's right. I totally forgot that. I completely forgot that.
Instead of it being a flyer, it was $11 million.
I totally forgot that. Oh my God. Now that you said it's like it's coming back in a Tim Lincecum rush. Oh my God.
There's another one right there. But you know what? Hey, like even Tim Lincecum taking a flyer on him, right? And he's showing these things in AAA, and it's like, yeah, all right, you know, let's kick him in. We need a pitcher. It's not necessarily we need a star, but it's like we need a pitcher. Tim Lincecum didn't work out, Matt Harvey didn't work out, Trevor Cahill didn't work out. You know, I think he pitched better than what his numbers were, but at the same time, the numbers speak for themselves a little bit. Yeah. But like you said, Clay Buchholz, there's nothing wrong with Clay Buchholz. There's nothing wrong with Jason Vargas. It's, you know, it's an arm that may click, and it's surprising that the Angels never were able to make a deal with any of those guys.
Okay. Well, when we come back with TBW, I am going to talk about the big fish that they did catch and another fish who might be important moving forward in this 2020 season. We're here with Taylor Blake Ward of Locked On Angels, and we were talking about how the big fish got away in Gerrit Cole, but they got the biggest bat available in Anthony Rendon. But I'll tell you something, they picked up two very interesting fish that they could put on the wall. And one is the return of Joe Maddon, of course, who briefly was an interim manager for the Angels and was on the Mike Scioscia coaching staff, and of course is putting together a Hall of Fame career as a manager. But also Mickey Callaway, who was not a great manager for the Mets, but was a fine pitching coach with the Cleveland Indians, who came within one swing of winning the World Series in 2016 and did so with a Cy Young winner in Kluber, but a lot of piecemeal pitchers that got him to the brink there. So what is the mood amongst Angel fans about the Joe Maddon era and the return of Mickey Callaway and what that will mean for the club moving forward?
Anything related to that 0-2 team is going to be a celebration. And having Joe Maddon back, you know, you look at the pedigree of his career as a manager, you look at the you know, he's very creative in how he is a manager. You look at Mickey Callaway, who has done wonders with the Indians pitching staff. You look at guys, Carlos Carrasco, Jose Quintana, Mike Clevenger, Corey Kluber, as you mentioned. if he can turn one of these guys, maybe Dylan Bundy in particular, into something out of nothing, then that changes the Angels' season. It changes the Angels going forward for a couple years. I think that the addition of Mickey Callaway is actually being celebrated more so than Joe Madden. But Joe Madden's got a big say with ownership. He's got a big say with the front office. And he is kind of putting together this team that he really wants to take in the playoffs. He's a very strong believer that this is a playoff team. And I think the fans is definitely following with that. I think they're, you know, we're national show, and, you know, I'm just a journalist and all that. And, you know, we look at this and we're a little bit more realistic about it. And it's like the Angels are still missing that one piece. But I'll tell you, Joe Madden, if he can manage his way into two or three extra wins over the season, that could be the difference between the Angels in the playoffs and them not.
And let's talk about the elephant in the room. And I'm not talking about Stomper, the A's mascot. They're in the division with the Houston Astros. The Houston Astros are going to have a season of intense scrutiny and not a lot of fun. Now, is there a chance that the Astros take a step or two back, not just because they won't be able to bang the trash cans the way they used to, but because they're a year older, their pitching staff is not as strong as it has been, and their bullpen is not as strong as it has been, and they've had a terrific run, but a lot of times these runs don't last more than 3 or 4 years. Just ask the Chicago Cubs that. And they're relying on a lot of veterans in their pitching staff to shoulder the burden, and a lot of batters who are going to be under a tremendous amount of scrutiny. Is this the possibility of seeing a team take a step back the way that the Indians did last year, the way the Cubs did last year, with these teams that went on these wonderful runs, you know, 4 or 5 year run, the Red Sox, same thing. A lot of times that's when they take a step, regress a little bit to the mean. Could this be the chance to take advantage of that and strike?
Absolutely. You know, on paper, for any of the trash can gate or whatever you want to call it happened, on paper, the Houston Astros were a weaker team. Now, they were still expected to be a 90-plus win team. And then this story came out, and, you know, congrats to journalism on really exposing this story. Congrats to Mike Fiers for exposing it. You know, sadly, it is his former teammates, everything, but, you know, we should celebrate Mike Fiers, and we should celebrate journalism in this event. But yeah, the Houston Astros, I think we wait it out. We have to see what they're going to be in 2020. We have to see if Alex Bregman actually does have the plate discipline that he showed over the last few years. I think Jose Altuve is still a very talented hitter. I think I still think there's a lot of talent on that team. But how much is that talent going to take you? And how many wins did those trash cans really win for the Astros over the last few years? That's where it's such a up in the air question that I don't think we're going to have an answer to until we get into July, August, and the Astros are not leading the division. And we look at the Angels, obviously, because we're talking about them right now, but there's another team in the AL West that's they have just about the same questions as the Angels, but the Oakland Athletics, they look strong too. So there are teams that are ready to pounce. I think the Angels and the Athletics are two teams that are ready to jump on the Astros. There was a great note about it, though, recently, is someone was telling me that they believe that a team like the Royals, you know, a team that's not competing for the playoffs, is going to play much harder than they previously would have against the Astros. Mm-hmm. So if the Astros have two or three games that they should have won that they don't, I'm talking about the slimmest of margins, you know, two or three games, but those two or three games could be very drastic come September.
Yeah, I mean, two or three games can be the difference between making the postseason or not when you have it as much of a scrum as it has been the last couple of years. And you're right. These teams are going, especially when they go, the Astros come into their home park, the fans are going to show up because they want to boo. And it's going to be the circled game on everybody's schedule. I mean, we saw this in the mid-2000s with the Red Sox and the Yankees, that everyone circled those games because they wanted to show up and boo. It was extra sweet when they won. Well, there's added venom to this beyond just the anger about how the Red Sox and Yankees bought every player they could. Now it's, you guys stole, everyone at Locked On Astros is going to yell at me. I'm saying this is what the fans are saying. Okay. You know, gee, there's, boy, we're finding how thin-skinned these Astro fans are with their on. You know, why are you booing us? These fans are going there for the purpose to boo the Astros because they believe the 2017 title is tainted and that they cheated and they got away with it with the bare minimum of consequences. And so those teams, you're right, that's a great point you made, that those teams are going to be trying a little harder. And for the Royals, for the Tigers, for the Orioles, for the Mariners, this is going to be their playoff series.
Oh, absolutely. And if I can just jump in, the home opener for the Angels is against the Astros. They open the season in Houston, and then their home opener just a few days later is against Houston. There are groups of Dodgers fans and Yankees fans, and I think the projection is that there's going to be something along the lines of 8,000 to 10,000 Dodger and Yankee fans coming to Angel Stadium over that three-game series over the weekend. And, I mean, you want to talk about pissed off. I mean, Angels fans should be pissed off, but you want to talk about Dodgers and Yankees fans. My goodness, that's where the Astros really stole from those teams.
Yeah. Well, someone who grew up a diehard Red Sox fan, if there was any silver lining to the Astros cheating, it was that it denied us two Yankee pennants. But that's me being a really, really petty man. Well, look, you are not a petty man. I'm not going to ask you to make any predictions because those are just, A, they're futile, and B, it makes people think that you were trying to jinx your team. But if there is one pitcher that you think will step up and be the surprise starter of the 2020 season, who would you predict?
I think I'm going to go a bit off the page. I'm going to say it's Griffin Canning. Sophomore year for him, second rounder that has shown new velocity. He has great breaking stuff. It's essentially last year he pitched incredibly well as a rookie, but it was command, which is always a thing for rookies. To have Mickey Callaway come in, teach him a little bit more about command and movement, which he already has great movement. I think Griffin Canning is going to step up this year. I think he's the guy to watch when it comes to the Angels.
Yeah, and he's going to be 24 during this season. He made 17 starts last year. Pitched all right. Didn't pitch great, but didn't pitch terribly. That's an interesting, yeah, that could be, and he is from California too. So that's a local kid done good.
Absolutely. And I mean, a lot of people that cover the draft like myself, we've known about Griffin since he was in Orange County as a high schooler. And then he went to UCLA, was throwing 90 to 93 most of the time, comes out and pitches in single A and he's 93 to 96. And it's like, okay, this guy's a little bit different now. And, we're seeing what he is. We're seeing what obviously, like you said, he's 24 midseason here, but the finished product is on it's on its way, and it's going to be something else, especially if it can come early like this year. I think he's a difference maker in the Angels rotation, if there is one.
All right. Well, you're a difference maker in the Locked On podcast world. Where can people hear your great podcasting work there, Taylor Blake Ward?
Oh, I'd love if you guys stop by Locked On Angels. You can check us out, LockedOnAngels.com. You can check us out on all podcasting platforms. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Angels, and you can find me on Twitter at Taylor Blake Ward.
All right, cool. And you can follow us on all those same platforms. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnMLB_net. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. And I will be hoping for good things with Mike Trout because I'm a good baseball fan. And you know what? We need our best player on the biggest stage. Hey, Taylor Blake Ward, TBW. Thanks for being part of the Locked On MLB podcast. Check us out on all the platforms I just said. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.